Hey y'all, and welcome back. I know I have been gone for a long time. I am so sorry, but I've been extremely busy, but I need to be extremely busy on my podcast as well. So, I'm not even sure where I left off at. I know I was talking about paranormal and gifts. So I'm going to pick up where I left off there. So, a lot of my paranormal experiences happened in my childhood as I was growing up in Leavenworth, Kansas, which is a very haunted place, as is Atchison. You can just walk into go and drive into, you can't walk in because it's way out in the country. But you can just drive into Atchison. And Atchison has this gloomy haze over it. And you just feel the energy of that city. Of that town, actually. Leavenworth doesn't have a gloomy haze, but it's got a lot of haunted history there. And the thing about it is that from what I know growing up, it's in the houses. It's not like a park or a forest where you see spirits or anything like that. It's just in the houses. A lot. It's common. And especially in the house I grew up in. It didn't help matters that my granny was a witch, my aunt, and my mom. And me. But also, I think that's what attracted a lot of it. More so than other people experienced in their own homes. So I'm going to tell you guys about a couple of experiences. One, I still don't quite understand. And the other one is pretty interesting. And it's interesting because it kind of connects my childhood. An incident that happened in my childhood, a paranormal incident that happened in my childhood, with a paranormal incident that happened in my adulthood, a whole state away, and many, 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 many life changes in between. Okay, so, but first I'm going to start off with, let me see, which one do I want to start? Okay, I'm going to start off with this one. There was this musical. I think it's like a one-hit wonder or something like that. And his name was Ralph Tresvant. He was a musician. He was a very famous musician back in the 80s, I believe it was. And he was pretty good. But one of my sisters was really enamored over him. She just thought that he was the ice cream on top of the cake. He had came into town into Kansas City, Missouri, where everybody goes into concerts and stuff. I like to call Kansas City, Missouri like Little New York because everything is there. It's so beautiful. Everything is there. And there is a huge difference between Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri is very metropolitan, whereas Kansas City, Kansas is very townishy. Low-key. And they're right next to each other, pretty much. And two different states right next to each other. So, on this night, he had came to Kansas City for a concert, to do a concert. she could not go because, one, I think she was, I'm hearing that she was 14. That might be true. She might have been around 14 years old. And she was so upset she couldn't go to the concert. We didn't really get a chance to go out a lot of places because we were raised by grandparents. And so they didn't really take us to stuff like that. And so they had gone out. There was a family club next door. And so them and our aunts, uncles who were old enough to go and all that went over there and, you know, just celebrated. They were the pinnacle of the family, my grandparents. And so they celebrated them all the time. And even when they went next door, it was a Legion club where you have to be a member. I forget what post it was. American Legion post. I forget the post. Oh, Lord. Anyway, I want to say 459, but I truly believe that might not be accurate. But anyway, we were at home alone. So we were listening to the radio, listening to his concert on radio, and she was crying because she couldn't go. And I was sitting next to her listening. I wasn't a fan of his, but I sat next to her because I wanted to listen with her, and I would, and I would. And I wanted to let her know that I was there for her. And so we're listening, and it's quiet in the house, really quiet. And so near the middle or the end of the concert. Okay, so let me take you guys this way. When you come into the house, there's a long hallway. This is an old house, over 100 years old. It looks like a mansion, but it's not. It's really tall. And the steps, the first thing you're going to see is the steps. I think the steps had a red runner going up. And it looked like them steps go straight up. Everybody had been initiated on them steps. And what I mean by falling down or tripping up them. And then there was a door to the right in the middle of the, corridor that was always sealed shut. And then as you walk further, there was the entrance on the right just before the staircase that led into the family room, which is where me and my sister were. And my grandmother had all of her, she had her display shelf with the radio and all of her bells, because she collected bells and stuff like her crystal and stuff like that. So, we were listening to the radio and it was quiet. So I know this could not have been any other sound. Nothing else was going on. Nobody else besides us two sitting next to each other was in the house. My grandmother at the very top of the steps always hung up there this very flimsy fabric art piece. I guess it's a tapestry or something. It had a velvety feel to it, but it was so flimsy, so light, that if you tried to drop it or anything, it was just kind of like, it had just a tad bit of weight, but it would float down. It wouldn't fall, it would float. And there was a picture of Jesus praying at the rock. And it was typical, you know, Jesus picture, you know, brown hair, blue eyes, pale skin. And so, typical here in America. And so, as we were listening to the concert, and that's the only noise going on. We hear this explosion. It was so loud. It was like it was supersonic. It was so strong and so loud that it could shake the walls. And this is a brick house. So we nearby have a heart attack. Like, what the heck is that? It came from the hallway. So we both know this house. And we know something is up. So we slowly walk over to investigate, to see what's going on, to see if we need to call next door to have somebody, a grown-up, come over if there's an emergency, if something in the walls or the pipes exploded or something. We go to the hallway, and at the foot of the stairs, we see exactly what it was. It was that picture from the top of the stairs, except it was face down. This one that has no weight that will float made that supersonic boom. It was securely fastened to the top of the steps. And there's no way that could have failed like that, face down, without hitting a few steps along the way. So that sound wasn't boom, 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 boom. It was boom. So we already knew we were dealing with demonic forces. None of this fazed my grandmother, by the way. Or my aunt. I think she's the middle or the oldest daughter. So, moving on to the next instance. And yeah, there were a lot of demonic forces in that house, which I will talk to you guys about incidences in which I experienced things in, you know, upcoming podcasts. But I'm going to move on to this other incident. We were playing, me, my sisters, my cousins were playing outside in front of the house. And my grandparents had this great, big, beautiful porch that was supported by cinder blocks and stuff. It was really nice. And then she had this little path between it and her little garden with peonies and rose bushes, thorny things. Anyway, we were playing right there along the porch in that little pathway. And we normally play like cops and robbers and stuff, but this time we had just finished, we were outside all day, so we was just chilling. And as often happens to me, I get a voice that says for me to look over, and we have this concrete company that makes concrete at the end of our alleyway. We have a gravel alleyway. And so I looked over there, and here comes this sweet couple. And they were just looking so in love. They were old, but they looked like they had just met and were just so in love. They had just fell in love, and that they never want to be separated from each other at all. It was just so sweet. I could feel the love between the two. And these are real people. So I thought, they didn't look like ghosts. They were solid. And so as they came up, they looked at me and my cousin, and they asked us how we liked the house. And I said, we like it. And they said, and they continued to tell us how they used to live there. That was their house, that they loved it, and that they were happy that we were happy there. and all that good stuff. And so then they turned around and they left. They were very sweet. The lady, she had the most peaceful smile. So I'm going to segue. I was probably about 9 years old at that time. So now I'm going way into the future. To, I think I'm like, I'm 35 years old for a fact. I'm 35 years old. And I'm not in Kansas anymore. I'm in the military and I'm stationed in Colorado. Me and my youngest, who was about 2 at the time. 2 or 2.5. He was three at the time. So we're laying down in bed and he's laying next to me and he's asleep and I was asleep. And I noticed that I started getting this really sick churning feeling in my stomach. And I started getting dizzy, like, and nauseated, and just, I felt discombobulated. And I started rocking back and forth hard. I was just trying to get myself into some type of equilibrium here. And so I'm rocking my body back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then the next, and I think I might have been groaning a little bit too, because it just, my stomach felt upset. And then the next thing I know is I'm looking at myself doing this. So that's how I know I was doing this. I was awake, standing outside my body, looking at my body sleep and rocking back and forth and feeling the discomfort, but as I was looking, the me that's looking at myself is fine. I'm not feeling any of that. So knowing what it is, it's my first time ever doing this. And I didn't do it on purpose. It just happened. And Colorado Springs is a highly spiritual location, by the way. And so, because that's Colorado Springs, Colorado. So I went and looked around my apartment and, you know, just try, because I often see shadow figures, really inquisitive shadow figures. I tried to find them, but I couldn't. And so I'm just walking around my apartment for a little bit. And really, me and my son's the only ones there, so there's really not much going on. I'm just looking around like, wow, this is pretty cool. And so I come back to myself. And as I come back to myself, I start feeling that churning, that sick churning in my stomach again, the discombobulation, that uncomfortableness, that nauseated feeling, dizziness, and I'm rocking back and forth until I wake up. And of course, my spirit guides, that voice tell me, look over at my son. And I look over and he's doing the same thing I was doing. At the age of 3. So I called my mom naturally, her being a witch, and I told her about it. And she was like, that is interesting. And then I, you know, as we were talking, I told her about the incident, about where the event where I was playing outside. And that couple walked up and asked us how we liked the house. And my mom, she's a Leo. Her reactions are always, you know, kind of dramatic. And she goes, oh. And I'm like, what? And she goes, I don't know how to tell you this. And I'm like, tell me what? And she goes, and she told me the name of the people, but I forget. I forget what the name is. I'm gonna have to look that up because I think my sister looked it up and found it. So I'm gonna have to ask her, see if she remembers or see if she still has the documentation. And she said, I don't know how to tell you this. And I'm like, tell me what? And she goes, such and such. She says a name, but I'm gonna say such and such because I don't remember the name. The original owners died before my grandparents bought the house. So I'm like, what? So I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was talking directly with them, me and my cousin, but I was the main one communicating with them. I thought they were cool as heck. And there was this little thing in the back of my head, even at 9, that they were ghosts. Like, some eerie way, I knew they were ghosts. But I didn't accept that they were ghosts because they looked like me. They looked so real. Oh, my God. So, yeah. There's so many experiences that I've had. There's one, not even in Kansas. It was in New Mexico. It was at a Greyhound, not Greyhound. It was at an Amtrak stop. Me and my son, who was 3, it was cold outside. It was like around, it was in February of 2006. And we had a long layover before the next train. And so I took my son and we went over to this little museum. It's a quaint little museum. And it advertised that it had the imprint of Bigfoot. And that it was saying that it's the real imprint of Bigfoot. Come in and see it. So I'm like, okay, let's go in here. I didn't believe it, of course. I thought it was kind of, you know, cliche or, you know, urban legend type of thing. So I went in there, and there was this really friendly man in there. He was sweeping up the floor a little bit, and his wife, and she kind of looked at me and smiled. And they had little collections around. It looked more, to be honest, looked more like a little antique shop than a museum that would house a big Bigfoot. About midway to the left, far left, there was a little cutout in the wall, and just outside of that cutout was this form, like what you would have if you were a dressmaker. The form, I forget what it's called, the form without the head. And it had a very beautiful Victorian dress on the form. I mean, there were no arms or legs. It was just the dress. And so we go in there and we say hi. And then we leave. And I go back to the train station. Well, no, we walk around the corner, see what's going on around there. There's really nothing else that would appease a 3-year-old. So I was like, it could like dining places that were a little more mature than what would cater to a 3-year-old, in my opinion, at that time. And so we went back around to the museum. I'm like, I'm going to go see this Bigfoot. So is that how that happened? I don't remember exactly how that happened. Because what it was, when I walked into the quaint little museum, I guess you could call it, or shop, it looked more like a little shop. The form, the mannequin form without the head, the legs, or the arms, I saw an absolutely beautiful Victorian lady, and she was looking right at me. And she had her hands folded in front of her, very dainty. And she looked at me, no expression, and she looked straight at me, like dead at me. She totally saw me. I totally saw her. And then she, it was like her body was faced towards the cutout, but her head was turned towards me, looking at me. And then she turned her head straight. And she walked into the cutout. Very, very gracefully. And so then I'm like, what? So I thought that maybe she worked there. Maybe she was like in costume or something. That's what it looked like. And so I walked around and I tried to find the Bigfoot thing. I find it. It's not as big as I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's believable. Bigfoot, I mean, hey, you know, some people believe it. Some people don't. The possibilities are out there. And so I go around looking at the other things. And okay, that's how it happened. Then I see the form that it had no head, no arms, no legs. It just had the dress on it. And I looked in the direction of the cutout in the wall where she walked at, where she walked into. I thought she walked into another room, but no, that was a solid wall. And that cutout was a solid wall. No doors, no windows, no nothing. And so that was pretty spooky. And they were, the people that owned the shop were looking at me like, did you notice anything? You know, they didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing to them. And though inside, I really didn't speak much of what I thought. I was always very contemplative. I just kept my thoughts to myself and was very observant. I was extremely observant, so I didn't say anything to them. And though although on the inside, I was having an intense dialogue, almost like a telepathic type of thing. And so these incidents, this is not an isolated incident for me. I'm always encountering something. And so it didn't faze me that much. It really didn't. And this was after the astral travel incident where I was rocking back and forth and came out of my body and was walking around my apartment. And that was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. But this was in New Mexico. So, I mean, paranormal experiences, if you are gifted, you're going to have these experiences everywhere you go. Everywhere. You're going to have these experiences everywhere you go. It's not a pick and choose type of deal. But you decide how you respond, how you react, how you deal with it. And embracing your gifts is up to you whether you want to or not. But no matter if you embrace them or not, these things will happen. Some people just shove it away, shun it away. Some people, Christians, think it's demonic. Everything is demonic. Some Christians do. A lot of Christians do. But it's not. You have abilities that, I mean, Christians, even people in the Bible had abilities. They were able to energetically, magically make things happen by manipulating energy around them. And yes, God, universe, divine them with that power. They divine them with the energy, but it's through their gifts that they access that energy to make things happen. There's a reason why not everybody was able to do that, to do what they did, because not everybody has the same gift. Some of us just have what we need, the basic gift, a basic intuition, instinct, knowing somebody's watching you when you can't see them. Knowing a spirit is around you when your hair stands on end. and you get that eerie feeling. Knowing, just being able to know that somebody is about to call you and pick up the phone and ask who it is. Being able to telepathically send a message to someone that something is wrong and that person know like that they get a sense that they need to call you or they just know something is off somewhere and they can't pinpoint it until they find out what's going on. We all have that. Okay? Why? Because it's energy. It's energy that we manipulate. And we connect with it. Why? Because we are energy ourselves. Everything is energy. It's just that those who are magically gifted have a energy that is magic. It is not something, you don't need tools to access this. You don't need candles. You don't need crystals. You don't need anything. I didn't have any of that growing up. Well, I take that back. My grandma, she had a crystal ball, all that stuff. But I really wasn't into playing with that. I always knew I could make something happen by the power of my own energy, by the power of my own will, in agreement with divine energy. And I went through the whole phase where I went against divine purpose. I just was not in agreement with it. I would fall in love with someone and do my tarot reading and they said, no, that person's not for me. And I'm like, oh, no, you must be wrong. And time and time and time again, I wish I had listened. So it's a process. It's a journey. You have to come around to being secure in your own magic. Because your own magic is not going to be exactly like someone else's. Your own magic is not going to be exactly like mine. But your own magic should always start off with being natural. Coming from within you. Not from a wand. Not from a crystal. Not from a candle. Not from a mirror. Not from any tool. The greatest wand you will ever have is your focused intention. A real witch uses real magic, and focused intention is just about as real as you are going to get. There's this whole thing going around about manifestation, manifesting stuff, manifesting, manifesting. That is just putting energy out into the universe. And believing in a favorable response to what you ask for. Here's the thing about that. One, the universe, your spirit guides, angels, and all them that you're talking to. Gods, goddesses that you're talking to have a more divine purpose, have a more divine source than you. So they don't listen to your request, but they will answer your request if it is what is best for you. But if you keep on pushing past, you're going to get what you ask for. That's karma. And you're not going to receive what you could have got, which would have been way better. So this whole thing about manifestation is gimmicky. Okay? Where they say that it's how the universe works. That's gimmicky. The universe does not cower to your will. The universe was here before you, before me, before any of us, before any animal. The universe was already real. Even the planets, the universes, as there are many, all of that. And if you, in existence, period, universe, God, gods and goddesses, all of that was here already. We are not beings that are highly evolved. Animals are more in tune than we are. Because humans have human failings. So therefore, what we think is best for us, we cannot even possibly even know. That's why you still hear about people who get exactly what they want and they're never happy or happy enough, or they are committing suicide, even though they have what appears to be the dream thing, and even if they said that this is their dream. It might be their dream, but it's not what is best, because we don't know what is best for us. We know what is good, what makes us feel good, what we see is good. But in my earlier podcast, I spoke about spiritual warfare and spiritual protection. And the thing about that is that when you request something, you don't want to close in on what it is that you want. You want to leave that open to the universe to give you what is best for you. Because the universe, your gods, your goddesses, angels, ancestors, they know you better. They know more. So you want to keep that open. Don't say, I want $1 million. I want to be a millionaire. I want that blue sofa at Ashley Furniture or wherever. You just state basically and openly, you need new furniture. I need new furniture. I need new furniture to make my living room open up and be bigger or whatever. And how that happens, what furniture you get, leaves that space wide open for the universe to fulfill your request and make you more happy than you would have been if you had gotten that blue sofa. That's how that works. There's a thing that some traditional or Christians who are in their old ways believe is that, and I think that goes along with charismatics also, is that you have to, in manifestation, you have to stomp and demand that God give you what you want. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever encountered in my life. I mean, every time I even hear about it, I just crack up laughing. I'm like, are you serious? Can anybody, anything be more ridiculous? So yeah, manifest, but don't tell the universe what you want. Let the universe fulfill you with what you need and want and desire. Even desires you have not even dreamed of. Okay? Possibilities are really endless and possible. Very possible if you do it that way. All right, you guys, until next time, I do plan to be back a lot sooner and a lot more often than I have been. I'm going to stick to this because I have a new podcast that I'm doing, so I'm going to be running these on the same day. And it's not a magical podcast. It's just basically a political or a life study podcast. So it has nothing to do with magic or anything like that. So I will be back. And thank you all for listening. And please spread the word about this podcast to other witches that you might know or those who just are open-minded and want to know more. This is a hereditary witch podcast, which means that you have a lineage of witches in your bloodline going back centuries. And this is not folk magic based, but we open this up to all witches, Wiccans, and those who are just curious about whether they might be one or have just found out that they could be one. So, thank you again for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.